All right, Fairfield County live and local. We are once again now presented by the Sono Collection. It's good to be back. And it's good to be back talking to these dudes right here, the Mushroom Cloud. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, John.
What's going on?
Thank you for joining me. Russ, me and you were trying to figure out the last time we all sat down together. I want to say it was like late spring, right? When did the live album come out?
I couldn't remember exactly.
It was last April. It came out last April. I checked on
it. It was April.
Yeah. Good work.
Yeah. It was last April.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been almost a full year.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what a year it's been. We were like, I feel like the last time we talked, it was still like 14 days to flatten the curve. That was the move back then.
Yeah. Now we're on the other end of the curve, which is seemingly,
I don't know.
Well,
and I want to talk about that with you guys because there's so much going on right now, just in terms of just, you know, Connecticut and the music scene and getting back to shows. But before we do that, you guys, you know, have not been lazy during this time. You've got the new single out, Rocket Science, and it's streaming everywhere, right? We've got it on iTunes, Spotify.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
All your favorites.
So, you know, Ryan, you were mentioning before we got started that you guys went in a slightly new direction with this. But one of the things I love about you guys is you're so hard to pin down stylistically. And I've read press about you that says the same thing, that you guys jump from genre to genre easily. This is a very drum and bass kind of driven track. Did you go into that intentionally wanting to write that kind of thing, or did it just happen?
I don't think we set out with like a, you know, let's make a drum and bass song, but, Paul and Russ came up with this idea. You know, Paul had this, it's like really cool delay driven, lush synth sound. And then Russ put, you know, like, a drum and bass beat over it. And then I was like, wow, like this would be really cool if I have like this octave pedal that I threw on for it. It gets like this nice, like really sub, like deep 808 sound. And it just like really made that, like, you know, like that ideal drum and bass type sound. And then Matt made really nice rhythm lines over it. And Paul worked really hard on mixing everything. And that's how we got the finished product. But no, we didn't like set out being like, all right, let's do a drum and bass song. It just kind of happened. I mean, Paul, you're the one that came up with that, man. Did you have like any certain like creative inspiration for that, or just happened?
Yeah, so we, the riff, I think we stumbled upon it in a jam in Matt's basement one time. And I just kind of like remembered it, made a mental note, like, really like that. And I think Russ and I jammed on it in the apartment and kind of fleshed it out a little bit. And yeah, just plugged it in the computer piece by piece, sent it out to the guys. They sent their parts back. I think the last time we were on the show, we talked about our song Afterthoughts, which we kind of wrote in quarantine similarly.
Right.
And that one, we just kind of like wanted to get out there real fast. I didn't spend much time mixing and mastering or anything. This one, I wanted to do kind of the same style of recording, but really try to like nail the levels and the mix and all that. And I tried to teach myself a lot doing it, which was great. So yeah, just kind of came together out of a live jam, and then just wanted to make the best possible recording we could at home.
I mean, it does. It sounds awesome. And Russ, like, that's live drums, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. On a kit, electric kit.
So no, it's on a kit. It's actually a reduced size kit. Like the bass drum is doesn't have the depth of a normal kit, but it actually gave it the nice punchy kick that a drum and bass has a lot of attack usually. But to go off what these guys said, yeah, it's like we didn't set out for a drum and bass track necessarily, but I tend towards that kind of ghost note style. I love drum and bass to begin with, but it wasn't intentional, I guess, in initially writing the song. But once the drum groove was down, then it really kind of took that form, I suppose. But yeah, it's live drums. Paul did a great job mixing it. I deadened the snare a lot, so that didn't have too much tone when I recorded it. But Paul was able to, you know, really give that a lot of life in post-production and make it sound like it had a lot of body, as well as still a lot of punch to it. But yeah, I'm really happy with how it came out. And I feel like it's one of our more we always strive for precision when we're recording in the studio, but based on time, and, you know, distance of travel to these places in the past, a lot of times, you know, sometimes you have to just be satisfied with what you can get after so many hours of recording. So this time being all in our control, I feel like we were able to nail down, like, you know, almost every single note how we wanted it to be. And I'm really happy with how it came out. So,
and you guys were all together for this, right? Because, I mean, you know, you think about it, a year ago when we last spoke, I think you all did Afterthoughts. I think you did that remotely, correct? That was all recorded remotely.
This was also recorded remotely the same way.
Oh, no basically. Way.
Russ and I live together. He's there now. I'm not, but we recorded his drums in his room. I recorded the synth parts in that room first. He recorded over, and then I emailed it to the guys, and they did their parts at their house. And just put it into Logic and went to work on it.
Oh, that's wild, man. Well, Cody from No Mind approves of your snare work. Comment down here. And by the way, if you're watching right now, either right now or even in the future, leave a comment down below. If we're not able to answer your question tonight, we'll try to get to it Sunday night. So Sunday night, we're gonna hear Rocket Science. We're gonna hear a couple of your tunes. I picked some stuff off the live album that I really liked. Nice. But you mentioned that you mentioned that you're working on new material. Like, this isn't a song just by itself, right? Like,
yeah, we have more.
What do you got? What do you without telling tales out of school? What are you guys working on?
Well, the plan before this all happened was we had, I think, three, maybe even four songs ready to go. One of them, Mobius, which is on the live album.
Yeah.
We never did a studio recording of, so we wanted to do that. And then we had, you know, two to three other brand new songs that we were ready to, like, go into the studio. We had we're going to do basically the same thing we did all the other times, pay for studio time somehow. We did a Kickstarter for our last album, Air Raid. So, you know, that was a possibility or some sort of a funding thing. And so now we're thinking we want to try, you know, maybe at least one more or two more, just kind of keep going with the DIY approach. And, you know, it's working so far and it's really rewarding doing it this way. So we definitely have plans to go back into the studio at some point because you just really get that professional sound, someone else's ears, someone else just kind of like helping you along the way. But for now, this is like really fun. Really, we're getting a good sound with our setup and just going to try to do one, maybe even the rest of this EP, which we had planned ourselves if we can.
Right. Well, does it change? I mean, it has to change the creative process to a degree. You know, I mean, like we were talking about, like, this is, you know, you guys hadn't really done a drum and bass driven song. Does working remotely like that change the way you guys write, change the way you guys approach that, change the sound? Or is it really just all the same?
I would say from my point of view, and I think we all would kind of agree after doing Rocket Science that kind of changed, you know, what we think we're capable of doing, what we're capable of putting out there. You know, I think our other albums were, you know, composed well, but we're kind of going for maybe more of a live sound. And now we're kind of like doing it more of like artistically, creatively, pushing the boundaries in the studio or in our homes. And then, you know, when it comes to playing them live, it's going to be like, how do we bring this to the stage and really make it sound the best possible? So I think there's two different, you know, there's a studio and the stage, and you want it to sound good everywhere, but it doesn't have to sound exactly the same.
Right. Well, so speaking of the stage, I mean, there's just so much going on. There's so many things, you know, today, it opened up to everybody 16 and up. So everybody's eligible for the vaccine now. And outside of questions of whether or not you're going to get it, what do you guys think the near future of shows is going to look like? Because you hear about a lot of stuff happening. People are talking about pods. I know my wife actually was telling me about one of the Disco Biscuit shows. Like, they do these like raised platforms with groups of people. I mean, you know, obviously that's not going to work on a smaller scale. Even an 800 seater can't pull off something like that. I'm not gigging anymore, man. What are you guys hearing? What's the word on the street?
Well, we're just starting to kind of open up shop again. It's really interesting. Seeing like what's left after this has happened. It's like a natural disaster style.
What's left, right?
But from as far as I can tell, in talking to booking people at venues and stuff, it looks like things are going to be able to open up with limited capacity. I think you have to have food. I'm not sure though. Other people would know much more about that.
I've heard that too.
But I'm talking to venues right now about doing after parties for potentially some of the Westville shows for the Mushroom Cloud. And, I don't really know. I don't even know if it's 50% capacity. Someone else could weigh in on this. I don't know. But they're allowing booking to start taking place. So, I'm just kind of playing it by ear. I don't really, I don't know. It's weird.
What about your own comfort level though? Cause that's something that, that's something that I feel like varies so much from musician to musician. There's extremes, obviously. I know that, there was a rush of people kind of condemning and praising on both sides, artists having shows when we were in the dead of quarantine, certain artists coming out and being very vocal and very forward about, let's not do this so that we can eventually do this. And I think that I think that was appropriate for the time, but how do you guys feel as performers going into the springtime? What's your comfort level at in terms of playing live shows? And that's a question for everybody too.
Individual. I feel fairly comfortable. It still takes precautions. Like I'd probably bring a hand sanitizer and mask, most of the time, unless I'm on stage type of approach. Still maintain distancing and stuff. You still have to be smart about it. And maybe even, do we play with bands still, or is it just us going to be us playing as a band? Do we have, eliminate the amount of people that we have backstage or working on the stage type of thing? So I think there are ways to do it safely and to, minimize contact.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also going to depend on what the venue's cool with. I've heard of, right. Venues being like, you can be an instrumental band, but you can't have a singer just because obviously you would expel. And I'm like, well,
that works for us.
Is on that, that hinder bookings as well. So, on top of your own personal level, it's also what the venue is going to be comfortable with, depending on where you're at.
Very true.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I mean, you see those drum shields, those big like plastic things that they have in some, in some venues. You gotta start just bringing those for singers, man. I mean, come on.
Somewhere was like it an easy or something. Somebody's setting up a giant plexiglass thing.
I think it is Strange Brew because Jason posted that on Facebook the other day. They're gonna open up and they're gonna be like selling tickets ahead of time. So for people who aren't familiar, Strange Brew, it absolutely incredible live music venue far outside of Fairfield County. But if you're watching this from anywhere else in Connecticut, you may know about it. Norwich, Connecticut, awesome live music venue. And and they've got a good system set up. They've got that big glass shield up in front. But it's wild to see now because I think in the post he was talking about selling tickets in advance, encouraging people to stay at their tables. And this is a place like, this is a place like Bryak, like PST, maybe a little bit bigger, and certainly with maybe a little
about that size
have been around longer, but about that size, talking about like 100 to 150 seat capacity. This is a place where you show up to watch music, not reserve.
Sure, yeah.
Do you think it's, and that's an example of a venue that's doing a fantastic job and a responsible job, but is it sustainable for the long term, or do you think it's going to eventually reach a point where we need to get back to the way things were?
Well, it's tough. I mean, you come at it from two standpoints. One being we haven't played in forever and it's exciting and we're artists and we got to get back out there and, do our craft, all that.
Yeah.
But obviously there's a business side of it too. And we need to figure out what money looks like, but that's never really stopped us. We find a way. Obviously bands do that, band world is not functioning on a ton of money anyway, to begin with. So you find ways to operate, but it's just going to be interesting figuring out that landscape and like what what these limited capacity shows mean. But what I've already seen as far as my experience going to a few shows during the pandemic is that, you know, you're willing to pay a little bit more to go to less shows because there are less. And at least that's my personal take on it.
Yeah.
Not like, I'm not saying, you know, people have extra money laying around after this has happened by any means, but I think, you know, for people who do love going to shows, they'll pay a few extra bucks to, you know, go to one of these limited capacity events to see one of their bands that they miss. And that's the great thing about the Connecticut scene. I think it's really tight knit and, you know, and around New England and in a lot of places that, you know, we haven't really expanded too far outside of New England, but a lot of places we go, there's diehard music lovers who love going out. So I feel like people are interested and excited as well to see what this is, as well as being really hesitant. So there's a lot at play. But you know, to answer your question, it's really, you know, it's both things. We want to get out and play as much as possible, but we'll see what that all entails as far as, you know, pushing forward. So
well, definitely. Well, and I'm glad you brought up the Connecticut scene too, because and we were talking about this for a minute before the show. You guys have such staying power as a band. You know, you've been around forever. I remember seeing you guys back in like 2012 or something like that. When did you guys get started? 2011?
Yeah, 2012 was our first show in CT, but we had played a show like right at the end of 2011.
Got it.
Yeah.
So you guys have seen this scene evolve in all of its different, you know, myriad ways. What I've noticed recently is you see a lot of articles coming out now. Connecticut Post, New Haven Register. I saw Doughy Joey's cracking me up. I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought. If you're just listening to the audio right now, we got the man Joseph just dropping heat in the live comments right here. And if you do just listen to the audio version of this show, then I love you and thank you so much. Because I'm not sure how many people are doing it. But I'm sorry. We love you, Doughy Joey. But sorry, my point was you guys are veterans. You guys have been doing it on a big level for so long. You see all these articles coming out about how Connecticut's become this center for jam music and for the music scene in New England and just kind of on the East Coast in general. Why do you think that is? What is it about CT that's so special that creates this really intense, really full of talent scene that we have?
That's a good question. One thing is central location to so many great places. So, you know, people are passing through here to go up to Vermont, like bands from North Carolina will come, you know, play here, even smaller bands.
Right.
That's
the Joe Rogan argument. Is that we're just a highway between New York and Boston. True though. It's not wrong.
But as far as people in Connecticut, you know, it's a small place, but it's pretty concentrated. What you said was right. The talent, you know, I know so many talented musicians. So I think on one level, we're just very lucky. But also, you know, it's a small place. The community is really tight. So it kind of drives everybody. And, you know, a lot of people are in music and they're pushing each other and everyone's getting better at the same time. And we're lucky enough to have gotten in so early, where we've gotten to see all these great bands like Eggy and Goose and everyone just exploding. Yeah. And to be part of that is awesome. And we just, you know, we love all these guys and everyone is just at the top of their game and getting better all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, definitely. Most definitely.
I think Connecticut is interesting too, because people from like different, I'm not from Connecticut. I'm from Massachusetts. I moved here when I was like 25 and I'm 30.
Oh, all right.
Now. So yeah, I've only been here for like 6 years.
Yeah.
And in Massachusetts, it's people that live in their town, that's all they know is the people in their town. Where I find in Connecticut, it's like people from the Valley are friends with people from Norwich and they're friends with the Black Rock crew just because they all like music. And like, it's just an interesting thing where you'll find that all these people that didn't go to high school together are like brothers, it's like brothers and sisters and stuff, and they're really close friends because of the music. There's something about just this area that brings that out in people.
No, and that's, you know what, dude, that's so true, because I grew up in New York and I didn't move here until high school, and I remember like coming here And my buddy, we were going to like Wendy's or something. And I was like, oh, is there a Wendy's in Fairfield? They're like, no, man, we're going to Milford. I'm like, we're going to a different town? And that's an extreme. That's an extreme example of growing up in New York City where you just never leave the island. Yeah. But like, I'm glad to hear like from someone.
Like that. Yeah.
Right. A lot of places are like that. And there is. And the idea of the show family is so strong.
Yeah.
I know, you know, it's a very real thing. Although Mass is cool, man. I've been to about
it is no, you know, not knocking have, Mass, but
I had a million great shows in Massachusetts too.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. Mass is great. But it's, I think that the reason why people are thinking that Connecticut is a jam band mecca or whatever right now is for that reason, right, that we're talking about.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Well, so, I mean, you know, spring is here. What do you guys have? You know, obviously we're tentatively looking at shows, but what plans do you guys have coming up in the next couple of months? What's happening?
So yeah, we're the first thing we're doing is there's a show, a little it's, you know, easing into it. There's a show in the parking lot of Spaceland Ballroom in Hamden. It's actually us and Joseph. We're just putting on a little music during the day, get things started. If I was legal, I'd marry Paul and Russ.
Joseph.
Oh, Joey.
Is it legal? It might be. I don't know.
Well, I think it's the polygamy aspect that's stopping you there.
Yeah.
I think that's the part that we're having difficulty with.
All right. Fair enough. All right, reverse, backwards. Anyway. Right. So, yeah, we're doing that. That's on April 10th. So that's next Saturday. We're doing a
And what is it for? Cannabis reform.
Yes, it's a free show. So you know,
in the space in Hamden at the space in the parking lot.
I'm not exactly sure what the details of capacity are. Obviously, still limited capacity. So yeah, you know, I can tell you more about that later. But as far as I know, that's our first show. Our second one, we are going to be playing in upstate Connecticut. At a place called Sunrise Pavilion, which is going to be really cool. Also limited capacity still, but it's closer to 100 people. So we're going to be coming soon. We'll be letting people know about it. You know, we're trying to get up to New Hampshire again in that mix. We've been in contact with those friends up there. But yeah, the one I'm particularly excited about is you know, bringing it back to Connecticut again, doing one of those after parties for one of the Westville shows. And as far as I can tell right now, I'm working with three dates, so it's either going to be June 12th, 13th, or what was the last one? June 26th. So whatever those dates mean to you, you can look them up and see.
June 12th. That's interesting. That's interesting because I just so happened to buy tickets to a show that's happening on June 12th at the Westview at the Westview Bowl. So I'm
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's that night. If it's not, hopefully we'll see you out there either way. But we're very excited about that. And as far as going forward, we've got a few just, you know, private backyard things together right now, and it's really all developing as we speak. So, you know, but it's nice to have shows on the horizon. It's amazing. We got new music to play. So, yeah.
That's got to feel good, man. Well, listen, you know, speaking of new music, you can hear new music from the Mushroom Cloud. Rocket Science is going to be on 95.9 The Fox this Sunday, 9 p.m. And it's going to be followed up with two songs. We're starting with three in a row from the Mushroom Cloud. And we've got what do we got on this weekend? We got Goose. We got a band called The Sparkle and Fade. We've got a bunch of local Connecticut music every Sunday night, 9 p.m. But it's starting with the Mushroom Cloud. This is the Mushroom Cloud. The new single is called Rocket Science. It's streaming everywhere right now. Make sure you guys go check it out. Mushroom Cloud. It's always a pleasure, fellas. Thank you for sitting down with me tonight.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for having us, John.
Absolutely, guys. Hang out right there for a second. But for everyone watching at home, hopefully we'll see you Sunday night, 9 p.m., 95.9 The Fox, Fairfield County, live and local.